is in Missouri for many years. How many total years have you been preaching?
33.
33 years he's been preaching the gospel. And he was pastor of Goodson Missionary Baptist Church there in Bolivar. And that was the mother church to Craighead Old-Timey Missionary Baptist Church in Jamaica, and to, the other church, Warsaw, I'm sorry, two churches organized there, and Bolivar, Goodson was the mother church to those two churches, and most recently, he pastored True Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Missouri up until 2019. So we are really honored and happy to have him here today to preach.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Hi. Had the privilege to meet Brother Mike over in Jamaica, and just fell in love with him. Brother Rick asked me to come and help in a revival effort right at the very beginning, before the church was formed or the building was placed or the land was purchased, and we had a good week there together, and I enjoyed it very much. I am glad to be with you. For whatever reason, this church and particularly Brother Moran have intrigued me through the years. I don't know any other way to say it. First time I came here, I just sort of fell in love with it, and have heard Brother Moran on tape mostly many times. I'm sort of in awe of him, to be honest with you. Most of the people that I've met in Missionary Baptist Church, which I grew up in, by the way, my mom told me the first time I went, I was 6 days old. I don't remember that, but but I grew up in it. And most of the people that I know want to know, when was you saved and when was you called to preach? And so it might take just a minute to tell you that. I was 9 years old when the Lord convicted me. The church I grew up in is called Mount Olive Missionary Baptist Church, and they were in revival. And I grew up on a farm, and back in that day, getting the mail was a really big deal. There was no email or texts or really much of anything in the country where I grew up. And going to the mailbox was a treat. I never had anything in there, but every day I hoped I would. And so I was headed to the mailbox. And I could take you right to the place. My granddad had a dairy barn, and the gate was open. He wasn't milking at that particular time. And as I went through that gate, I was thinking about what TV show I was going to miss because of the revival. That's what was on my mind. And the Lord said to me, just in words as plain as anybody has ever spoke to me, you need to be more concerned about your soul than what's on TV. And I'd never heard him before, but I knew immediately who it was, and I knew immediately what it meant. And that very night, I was just nine, and I'll be honest with you, what I thought was, is I'd been around long enough to kind of know how it goes, and I thought, if I can just keep my cool and not let on like something's wrong, they'll leave me alone for the next couple of years. And that very night, my grandfather, who I adored, came to me and he said, "Son, I've been talking to the Lord about you. I'm concerned for your soul." And I just began to cry. I couldn't help it. And he knew that he'd found his mark. He said, "Would you come to the altar with me? I'll go and pray with you." And I said, "Yes." And I didn't get saved for a while. I grew up hearing stories from my grandpa about his experiences with God, and I'd come to the belief that him and God were best friends. When I was very young, I thought God lived, there was a farm road that ended about a quarter mile down the, from the farm to market road that we lived on. And my great uncle lived in a house there, and beyond it was just wild. And I had made up in my head that God must live out there somewhere in that wild area. But Grandpa talked about him as a friend, and so I thought if I could get Grandpa to talk to his friend on my behalf, that surely the Lord would save me. And that ain't no way to get saved. And for 2.5 years, I tried to seek the Lord, but couldn't get anywhere. And we went to meet with my Uncle Joe. He was my great uncle, my grandpa's uncle. And he was old, and we hadn't been to see him in a long time, and we went to just visit with him. And it was a beautiful October afternoon, sunshine, crisp air. And they got to talking about the moon landing. It was 1969, and the moon landing had happened just a couple of months before that. And they got to talking about that. My Uncle Joe said, you know, my grandpa's name was Ralph. He said, Ralph, when I was born, things were pretty much like they had been since the time of Jesus. We didn't have any cars or electricity or radio or television or airplane, nothing. We got back and forth to church in an old wagon, and we'd heat up bricks to sort of keep warm in the wintertime, but we really froze to death. And he said, in my lifetime, I've seen all of those things come to pass, and now we've landed on the moon. And then he said, Ralph, he said, I don't imagine the Lord will come in my lifetime. I'm old and ready to die, but... And then he pointed his old bony finger right at my face, and he said, but I expect that this boy will still be alive when the Lord comes. And something changed. I felt like the fire of heaven rose up around my back of my head, and I was scared to death. And I began every night to pray, and would fall asleep most nights trying to pray that the Lord had saved my soul. And on Christmas Eve of that year, 1969, I was praying, and my grandma had a brand new record player, and she'd put some Christmas records on while we all went to sleep, and Tennessee Ernie Ford had just dropped and was playing, and that's all I remember is it started to play, and God met me in prayer and took me to a place I'd never been before, and I saw myself as insignificant and unworthy and a sinner. And I remember thinking, there's no reason why God would save me. There's nothing about me to be desired. And in that despair that came on me, I thought to cry out to the Lord to save me. And I just said, Lord, please save me. And boy, something changed. Peace rolled into my heart. There was a brightness in that room that came from everywhere and nowhere in particular. My brother was next to me. We were at my grandpa's house for Christmas, and he was the most beautiful creature I've ever seen in my life. He just glowed. And I reached over and kissed him on the cheek because he was so beautiful. It's a good thing he was asleep or he would have slugged me, but it just seemed like the right thing to do. And then as the brightness began to fade out of that room, I heard a voice that said, go tell your grandpa. And I didn't do it. I wished I had of, but I cheated myself by not obeying God right then. And it took me a couple of months before I was able to tell the church. But I finally did, and I was baptized in March of 1970 in the fellowship of Mount Olive Missionary Baptist Church. I married my high school sweetheart at the age of 20. And at 22, we decided to try to start a family. And she, back then, there were no home tests. And so we went to the doctor. And I waited in the waiting room while she was in the doctor's office. And she came out of the door, and she looked at me and smiled great big. I knew that we were expecting. And immediately the Lord said to me, preach my word. And it was ominous. I was scared to death. It took me a few months to finally get that out to my church. But I did, and finally, and our pastor was Brother Steve Skinner. Y'all may know him. And never will forget, I sat down, and boy, I just felt so good. I felt lighter than I had in forever. And then Steve stood up, and he said, "How many in favor of having Brother Mike preach next Sunday night?" And that was the end of the piece for a while. So that's my story. I'm just a sinner saved by grace and called by him to preach his word, which I'm in awe of. And I don't feel I'm not worthy. God does wonderful things for us, not because we're worthy of it, because he's good, because he loves us. When he called me, I thought I was ruined. But he's given me far more, exceeding abundant above all that I could ever ask or think. And I'm so grateful for the little part of the ministry that he's allowed me to undertake. That probably went on way too long. I'm sorry. but it's free. I've got a couple places of scripture I'd like to read to you this morning. And Brother Mike called me. He just said, "Why don't you pray about it for a few days? And if the Lord directs you this way, let me know." And so I did. And what I prayed, I sort of laid out the fleece, if you will. I said, "Lord, if you'd have me go there, then fill my heart with some message that you'd have me go to preach." And he did. And at the time, all he said was, "Is preach to him about the resurrection." That's all he said. And then later he gave me a text, and it's sweet to me, and I'm going to try to read it. It's found in the 11th chapter of the book of John. And I'm going to start reading at the 14th verse and read down a ways. It's a familiar story. It's when Jesus went to raise up Lazarus from the dead. And wonderful little story. I'll not read the whole thing, but I want to read a part of it to you that the Lord gave me. 14th verse, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." They thought that he was just asleep. Thought he was doing well because he's asleep. And Jesus said, "No, you don't understand. Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. When my grandpa died, I prayed this same thing. I said, Lord, I'm so sad that my grandpa's gone. But I know that you're able to do anything. And Lord, if you could, bring him back. It wasn't God's will to do that. I just think maybe people who have lost a loved one understand exactly how Martha felt and Mary. Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And this is the verse that God gave me. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. I'm going to stop there. I've got the part that I wanted to read. I also want to read just a couple of verses to you from the 20th chapter of the Revelation. This may be my most favorite little chapter in the whole book of the Bible. I love it, and it's so chock full of wondrous promises and revelation of God's will. But just have really four verses, that I want to read to you this morning, starting at the fourth verse of that 20th chapter. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them. Now listen to this. The souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned 1,000 years with Christ. Now, I've got a little more to read, but I want you to get this. I saw the souls of them which had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now, what would we call somebody if we saw a soul of somebody beheaded? Wouldn't we think they're dead? John saw them living, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now, he just separated the people that he saw into two categories. Both of them what we'd call dead. But one category is living and reigning with Christ. And the other category is dead but not living again. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you that John saw the souls of them that were living and reigning with Christ is what Christ called paradise. Where the souls of my grandpa that I love, and my grandma, and my mom, and my dad are there with Jesus today, living and reigning with Christ. And there's good hope for you and I in this. And here's what it is. Jesus said, if any man believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if any man liveth and believe in me, he shall never die. I submit to you that those living and believing in Christ are these same living souls that are in paradise with God today. Worshiping Jesus Christ that gave him life, the resurrection and the life. So it means something important to those of us who are living in Christ. And by the way, I'm talking about your soul and not your body. I'll try to make that distinction a little bit. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, your soul is alive. It was dead and it is alive now, and it will never die again. When you leave this world, you're not going out of here dead, but you're going out alive and victorious. Peter said that an abundant entrance will be ministered unto you into heaven. Can you imagine that? That Jesus himself will meet you there and abundantly welcome you into the living quarters of the saints of God that are waiting for the day of the resurrection of the body. Let me go on a little more. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So it's inescapable, my friend, that if you're saved by the grace of God, then you've had part of the first resurrection already. Paul said, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. His soul died, my friends. And it is vital that if your soul is dead, that you must be regenerated to life by the power of Jesus Christ through the blood that he shed on Calvary. And if you get saved that night that the great physician came into the room where I was trying to get to sleep with my brother on Christmas Eve. My friends, that night the great physician came in and he raised me back to life. My soul that died on that day that he told me that I needed to be more concerned about my soul than what was on TV. I died right then and right there on the way to the mailbox at my farm home. But on 1969, in December 24th, along about 11 o'clock at night or so, Jesus Christ entered into me and regenerated my soul. And so, my friends, I've taken part of the first resurrection. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is maybe the best verse that I'm going to read to you. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I am thankful to be able to stand before you this morning and tell you, my friends, that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. If you've got hope in any other thing, if you've got a hope in good works, if you've got a hope in your acceptance of Jesus as a Savior, my friends, this is not what is required, but rather of the resurrection of your soul is the only thing that will grant you entrance into the heavenly clime. Nothing else will do it. There's literally not, and man has sought for all kinds of things. Good works will not do it. As a matter of fact, we find in the scripture that when the Lord comes and looks at those souls that are unsaved, unregenerated, and he says to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. My friends, they protest. And what they protest about is that they've done great works in the name of Jesus Christ. That won't save you. That won't give you entrance to the heavenly climb. Nothing except the resurrection of the soul. But aren't you glad? I'm so glad about this story. Now, I don't think, and the Bible doesn't tell, so I'm just giving you my opinion. I don't think that this resurrection of Lazarus was the resurrection for Lazarus. And I'm talking about the incorruptible body that could not be corrupted and passed from mortal life to immortal. I don't think probably that's what happened. And I'll tell you why, because if it was, then Lazarus would still be here. We could talk to him about it. But evidently, my friends, Lazarus had died again. And so this was to demonstrate the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for the example. I know how Martha and Mary felt. I've lost loved ones. I've had to say goodbye to some of the dearest on earth. And I confess to you that when my dad died, I wasn't ready for him to go. He called me on Wednesday before he died on Friday. He just had retired. He was 79, but he just kept on working, and that pleased him. But he retired just about 6 weeks before he died. And he called me up on Wednesday, and he said, "Son, what are you doing in October?" And I said, "I don't know, Dad. That's a long ways off. This was January." And he said, "Well," he said, "there's a storyteller convention that's going to go on in Tennessee somewhere, Bristol, Tennessee, I think." And he said, "I'd like to go to that, and I wish you and Sheila would go with me and your mom." And I said, "Well, Dad, I'd love to. Let's just plan on going." And Friday he died. I felt robbed. I hadn't got to spend any time with him in his retirement to just enjoy being with him. And I think probably if Jesus had been there, I would have asked him, "Lord, can't you do something to bring him back for a little while?" But he was already gone. But my friends, I have a hope in the resurrection. Because Jesus Christ is the resurrection. I can't hope in my father. He was a good man. But he wasn't a good enough man that he'd not die. And so he died and we buried him. But my friends, my hope today as I stand before you is in Jesus Christ. And one of these days, a great sound of a trumpet will blow. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And then we'll rise up in the air to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm looking forward to that day. I've thought about it. I've dreamed about it. Not long after I was saved, the devil come to me. And here's what he said to me. He's so sly. I hadn't joined the church yet, and I was thinking that I needed to join the church. And the devil said, "Now, wait a minute. How many nights these past few months have you fallen asleep praying to get saved? Probably what happened to you was you fell asleep and dreamed that you got saved." And I was able to overcome that, but it was a sly trick that he used on me. My friends, during that period of time, I had this dream. And in my dream, there was a great line stretching into the sky. All the saints were rising, and they were all going up. And I was left there. And I got afraid. I thought, "Oh, maybe I'm not saved after all." But at last, everybody had gone, and I was the last one. And then I started up in the air. And I didn't mind being last. It really had no... I had no problem with being last because I got to go. And so I'm looking for Jesus, my resurrection and my life. And one of these days when that trumpet blows, I'm going to go into the air to meet my Lord, and I'll be with him forever in the air. Aren't you glad about that? Or if I die before he comes, my friends, my body will keel over and they'll put me in the ground, but my soul is going out of here victorious and alive. And I suspect that instantaneously after my eyes close in death in my body, my soul will find itself at home with the Lord. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm so thankful for that verse. Thankful to get to share it with you. I don't know what to do next. I need to turn back to you, Brother Mike. God bless you.